Bali. It's Lady Laguna Bali.
Welcome to week two of the Annabelle set. We are back, and this week we've got a bit of a change up, a bit of a freshen up. We've got Rob Archibald, the other half of Annabelle Neesham, Rob Archibald, training in here. Welcome to the den.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Annabelle was in last week. Really successful first episode. People really liked it. Great to get some really positive feedback. So we're back again today, and as we did last week, we'll talk about the week that was for you guys. You had a pretty good weekend, didn't you? You had three winners on Saturday, am I right in saying?
Yeah, no, good weekend. It's always a good time of year to have a few winners, so happy with the way it's been going.
Two on Monday, I think.
Yeah.
And I even heard that maybe you guys are second on the New South Wales Trainers Premiership. Have you heard that?
We don't look at it too often, yeah. But I like the sound of it.
A long way to go, obviously, in that. But it's pretty good to be, even after a couple of months into the season. So things are going well, so it's good to see. All right, so why don't we get into the week that was? And I reckon probably the highlight was Ostraca and Port Lockroy. Let's not forget Port Lockroy. Randwick Race 10 on Saturday. Annabelle gave Ostraca a big push in last week's Annabelle set, and he delivered, paid about $4 or something. Why don't we watch the replay and you can tell us about the run. We can see here I've pointed out Ostraca in the red and the white, and also Port Lockroy in the yellow just behind Ostraca. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, I thought Ostraca was excellent. He obviously is a really progressive horse. He finished the preparation off up in Brisbane with a nice black tight win. Two in a row this preparation. I liked here he's had to do it sitting a little bit closer to the speed, whereas first up he was allowed to just go back and hit the line. Here he's done it a little bit harder. So he's a really nice horse, got a lot of ability, and he's improving all the time. So, I thought he was excellent there on Saturday.
And Port Lockroy, another 15 metres, maybe Port Lockroy wins the race.
Yeah, that's definitely the best Port Lockroy's ever resumed. And just obviously he was excellent through the line. So he looks like he's in for a good prep. He's another horse that's got plenty of ability. Probably just try and keep him to a few of the more the shorter trips this prep. We've tried to stretch him out in the past, and I think, you know, what we've learned about him now is he's good fresh, and he's also in for a nice prep.
Do you think both of them could end up being Group 1 horses? Are they, you got that big of an opinion?
I hope so, yeah. They're certainly progressing in the right way. It's obviously a big statement to say that they're going to end up Group 1 horses, but probably a striker of the two is heading in that path, but yes. Look, he's got a long way to go.
He's got that natural brilliance, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Versatility as well. It was good to, you know...
Exactly,
didn't get things everything his own way on Saturday and still managed to find a way.
Exactly, so. Yeah. I think that was the pleasing thing, just to see him obviously be able to do it on speed. So, I think both got plenty of ability. Ostraca of the two is probably the one that's got that little bit more
brilliance. High ceiling.
Yeah.
And Silver Eagle next for both of them, or just Ostraca?
Yeah, I think Silver Eagle for both. I'm not sure if Port Lockroy, or actually, might just scrape in, but we'll wait and see next week. But maybe Ostraca will also have a nom in the Sydney Stakes.
Okay. And would the Golden Eagle be the long range target for Ostraca?
I think so, yeah. I think he's certainly won over that distance before, or he's certainly showing that he'd get out to that distance. So, he's. Quality horse, very lucky to have him in the stable. And if we can get him to a Golden Eagle, that'd be a really good way to sort of end the preparation.
And I saw Southport Tycoon sniffing around for the Silver Eagle and stuff as well. Does that scare you a bit?
Or? Yeah, it definitely scares us a little bit. He was excellent the other night in the Manicato. He's another horse that's, his star's very much on the rise. So, look, our two horses that are heading there, they're going to have to go up another level, as you'd expect. But we feel like they're capable of doing it, and we'll learn a bit more about them as we go.
Yeah, let's talk more about superstar horses. So the Trial of the Century, you guys played a really big hand in the Trial of the Century, which was out at Randwick on Tuesday. So here it is up on the screen so people can see the quality. I think there's $37 million worth of prize money amongst all those horses. I mean, it really is the creme de la creme of New South Wales horses, isn't it? Organ feet, a lot of Everest runners and all that kind of stuff. So you had three runners in there, probably the three best horses in your stable, arguably. Lady Laguna, Jolly Star... Sorry, not Jolly Star, but you wish you did have her.
Yeah.
Sunshine in Paris, Lady Laguna and Amelia's Jewel. So when I saw that this trial was on, I contacted you and said, hey, can we come out and film a bit and get a bit behind the scenes action? And you agreed. So why don't we play the footage of me hanging out with you at this trial and see what happens?
Sure.
Trial of the Century, mate. You got a pretty solid hand, three runners. What are you expecting from, or what's the What would be a good outcome?
First, Lady Laguna, obviously, she's had that one run and then she had a little setback after that. She just got a temperature and a virus, so she's just had a little bit of time off and we're just building her back up. So don't want her to do too much. It's just really just building those fitness levels back up where they need to be. But she's quite forward anyway, so, just said to Tom just to trial it where she's happy and get her in a good rhythm and just let her finish off wherever she's comfortable. Sunshine in Paris, obviously, she's only had the one run, so this is her main hit out now before she heads to the Everest. So Tommy knows her pretty well now. She's never the flashest of trialers, but it's more just let her travel where she's happy through the first probably two-thirds, and then late he can just allow her to do a little bit more to the line. Okay. So she's probably going to do the most out of all three. Yeah. And Amelia's Jules, obviously, we're between runs and heading to a King Charles, so she's just going to have a quiet trial where she's happy and she can just stretch out a little bit late. So, yeah, look, don't really worry about wherever they're going to be in comparison to the others, because it's more just about them just making sure their horse are happy and they're moving well. And they're just action and the way they're going.
So,
it's the most important thing. So, look, they've all gone down nicely. They were nice and relaxed before. So, yeah, it's a hot trial, but I just want to see him get through it all right and be happy.
Yeah, brilliant. All right. Exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Do you want a bit or?
Just on the bridle. Yeah. Just let it stretch out late.
Quicker up on bridle?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Changed for yesterday.
Yeah.
I'd say similar to your one.
Yeah.
You don't need to know about this. No, it's going to be a bit many in the gates. It's a bit better to watch you putting it in and down the straight.
But if you let her drop around behind him, she will.
She'll pull up the back sort of setup.
But if you let her, if you get her up alongside something, she'll actually travel for you.
Yes.
All right. Just where she's happy. She doesn't need to do too much.
Running up towards the home turn in the greatest trial the world's ever seen, and it's Lady Laguna off the fence showing the way. From Private Eye the inside, wider out on the track was Lady of Camelot as they make the home turn. Zugotcha behind with Sunshine in Paris, Celestial Legend, Amelia's Jewel, Jolie Star and Fangirl is last into the straight. Approaching the 300 metres, Lady Laguna, Lady of Camelot, they're together. Private Eye back near the inside and Sunshine in Paris works home well. 125 out, Lady of Camelot's taken a narrow lead now, and it's Lady of Camelot just in front nearing the post, and Lady of Camelot will win the trial by about a long head on Lady Laguna. As for third photos between Private Eye, Sunshine in Paris, Celestial Legend, then Amelia's Jewel.
Worked the other morning.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish it was tomorrow the race.
Yeah. Tommy, Sunshine in Paris.
Yeah, very pleased with her. She came out with a lot of enthusiasm this morning at the first 100 metres and just had to get her to come back to me to get a bit of cover and travelled sweetly and just really cruised up the straight under a hold and pulled up very clean in the wind. So she's exactly where we want her. A couple more weeks to go.
So well, no, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try like a jet.
Yeah.
Oh well, eh? Just gave it
just a little bit of a squeeze late.
Squeeze up just on straightening because I sort of switched off and it's there and I was like, holy hell.
Yeah. Jason, Amelia's Jewel.
Yeah, she's trod really well. Wee bit edgy in the gates, cleared fine. Just brought her back in behind cover. She switched off, just gave her a bit of a click up there to see, make sure she had it there, top of the straight on the right. She was very responsive. She was pretty Otherwise, I'm pretty happy with how feeling I got.
That's good. Yeah. Maybe just riding it, that, just like that, a little bit quieter. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think should do. Good. Yeah. Mate, just jump straight into the bridle.
Winged them, and I watched the replay. She's always like boxy or.
Yeah.
I was outside Tommy. I looked across. He didn't want to lead.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is that Creos, but she just watched me. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was still
chucking through the line. Yeah. Beauty. Thanks very much.
So, couldn't be happy with that, right?
Yeah, I think that was about perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe Laguna just sort of maybe it was a bit more forward in the trial than maybe we expected, but that was fine. She just jumped straight into the bridle, travelled really well. And Tom said she was under a good hold through the line, so couldn't be happy with her. I thought Sunshine was excellent.
Yeah. Tommy was like, yeah.
Tommy. As I said before, knows her really well now, and he thought she was spot on. So I think she's where she needs to be. And Amelia's Jewel, actually, Jason said, gave him a really good feel, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good. So maybe, hopefully, it's just up to the mile of a King Charles, a bit more pressure in the race. She might just be able to be ridden a little bit quieter and show that kind of foot that she's got.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All good mares. It's nice to see them sort of trialing that way and onward it up to their next targets.
The only thing that's no good is the weather.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, can't have everything.
No, and Lady Laguna, when would you like to see her at the trial?
I think Annabelle was keen potentially to a Sydney Stakes, so which is
Everest Day.
Everest
right?
Day, yeah.
Wow, so she'll probably day for the stable.
Yeah. Chat to Gus and Terry and they'll confirm those plans. But I expect after a trial like that, that'd be probably the logical next step.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make that decision in a few days.
Let's get out of the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so as you said, everything went pretty much perfectly to plan. Anything to add in the sense that how have all those horses pulled up, and can you give us any more insight on where they're all going to go next?
Yeah, look, they've all come through it well. They all get, obviously, our routine, they get trotted up the next day just to make sure that everything's fine with them, which we've done this morning. So pleased to report that they've all come through it well.
Beautiful.
I thought the trial was good from all three horses. Obviously, Lady Laguna, as we've said, she had that little setback, so she just needed a nice strong hit out before we go back to the races. And she surprised us actually a little bit. She was a bit more forward in the trial against that quality of a field of horses. So she was jumped straight into the bridle, travelled really strongly through it. And we just said to Tom just to give her a relatively easy time, just a nice blowout, which she did. So. That was a big tick from her.
Yep.
She's very fresh and well in herself this morning, so she's taken no harm from it. Amelia's Jewel, she's between runs, so we're obviously really wanting a cherry ripe for a King Charles. So that trial should give her a bit of confidence. I love the way she was hitting the line. So as we were speaking about, a little bit more pressure in a race just might suit her, where she can just be ridden a touch quieter.
Mm.
It might allow her to show off her turn of foot, which we know she's got her. Particularly last start, we probably rode her a bit closer than we would have liked to, but we felt we had to give her best chance, carrying that little bit of extra weight, which I think just sometimes can take away from their brilliance. But, she was a big tick as well, and obviously Sunshine, so she was so good in the Scirocco first up.
Yeah.
Obviously wanting to keep her nice and fresh, which we've done. That was a nice hit out for her. Tommy gave her a big tick, and she's come through it well as well. So all three really were just about perfect, and they're certainly on track for their next targets.
And do you think Sunshine in Paris would have liked to have gone a bit harder, but Tommy had a bit of a hold on her? Because she seemed like when she was going out the trial, she's pretty fired up. She really just wanted to get out there and rip in. Is that what she's like?
Yeah, she's never the flashest of trialers. She just does whatever you ask of her, really. So I thought that was about perfect. You just want to see them full of running, on the bridle, so to speak, and just where you want them to be, and just travelling through the line under a good hold. So I thought that was good. You certainly don't need to be seeing any more than that at a trial, and she needs to sort of save all that up for a big performance in the Everest.
So we're 10 or 11 days now from the Everest, so she won't do any more fast work.
Look, Annabelle will make that final call, but I don't expect her to do anything this week.
Yeah.
She'll do a final piece of work on Tuesday, where she'll just stretch the legs and have a little bit of a blowout. And
but she wouldn't get to a full gallop?
She'll have a nice enough gallop, but we're not big gallopers. We don't want to see too much in the mornings. We just just allow them to stretch out, and they'll be put under a little bit of pressure, you know, in the final part of the gallop. But no, it certainly won't be any real test for her, and something she would have done all the time. So they just gallop over 1,000 metres, and they're just allowed to improve from the 400 and just a little stretch out late, which gives them a nice blow and usually sets them up well for the weekend. So look, she's in great order. We just look after her now and make sure she's cherry ripe.
Have you been involved in the Everest preparations before, or all the sort of the media and stuff beforehand? Have you been involved in that last year or anything? Or?
No, not really. I mean, never on this side of it. Previously, I've worked for Coolmore, where we've been on the other side trying to find a horse that would run in their slot. So I played a really small role part of that team. So, a little bit on that side of it, but never really from a training point of view. So it's exciting. It's an amazing race to be a part of. And to have a live chance is a real privilege and something that we're both pretty excited about. And, you know, hopefully we can just get Sunshine there in her best possible shape. And if we do, no doubt she's a live chance.
Yeah, and Lady Laguna, we're going to go to the Sydney Stakes with her? Is that the plan?
Yeah, Sydney Stakes is the plan. And then there's so many nice options for her, potentially even culminating over in Perth in a winter bottom or something like that. So we just want to get her back underway, get her racing well, then... You know, she'll pick her own races from there.
Cool. Let's have a little bit look at a bit of other stable mail, a few things that happened last week. So the first is the Epsom. So you had My Oberon and Galeron in the Epsom. We might throw the Epsom up on there. I think I point out My Oberon now when I freeze it there. So there's My Oberon. Pretty good run really overall. Never had any luck. Was off the track the whole way.
Yeah, obviously he joined the car park. I thought it was a huge run from him, obviously. He'd put the writing on the wall. He bounced back with a good performance in the Seven Stakes. And I thought Nash gave him every possible chance from the draw here. He was top weight. So it was always, you know, going to be a little bit difficult. But I love the way he was still good to the line.
Yeah.
It was a really credible performance third up. And, you know, he's very much on track for another big run back to weight for age in the King Charles.
Yep.
He's in great order. He'd had a bit of time off before this preparation, and he's come back as well as ever.
And Galeron, not too bad?
Yeah, a little bit disappointed because we thought he was ready for a big run. He just got a little unsettled through the first part. Funnily enough, he came out of the race with a black eye, so he might have just copped a bit of kickback and got him a little unsettled, but he just probably did a bit too much through the first part of the race to see him finish off the way he can. He's been really rattling home in his races, and obviously this was a big step up to Group 1 company. And I don't think we saw the best of him, but all in all, it was a good enough run from him, but we were hoping for a bit more.
Yeah, Tupacara in the Gym Crack. You would have been happy with that. First ever run in a race. I freeze it here so people can see who she is. She's back on the fence there in the light blue. Gets absolutely poleaxed just about now. There you go. Pretty much had all momentum taken away.
Yeah, just love the way how brave she was. It was all going wrong for her there when the pressure came into the race, and she managed to fight through that part of it, and her best work was the last 50 metres here where you see her just really extending to the line. So, she's a really talented filly. She's, you know, got bigger and better things in store, no doubt, and thought wasn't the ideal first run, but love the way she hit the line, and she'll be... She's gone for a break now, and then we'll work our way back to a golden gift and give her a chance there.
Okay, cool. So that you're aiming high with her. You'd love to see her line up in a slip or something like that. You think she's got that potential?
Yeah, I think so. It's always a relatively good form race, you know, this race here, and it sets up well. A lot of these horses will end up in the better races in the autumn. So, I thought that was a really good first up run where a few things didn't go away, and she still ran well. So, all in all, I think she's one to keep an eye on as we progress through the season.
Unreal. And finishing off stable mail, Faulkner Park, one of the stars of your stable. So we've got the vision of him galloping at Caulfield on Tuesday morning. Annabelle was down there, and pretty big news today across the industry that you've pulled him out of the Caulfield Cup. He's going to come back to Sydney. Talk us through the decision as we watch him galloping at Caulfield.
Yeah, obviously resumed in the Underwood. Certainly resumed below our expectations. He'd obviously had a really big season up in Brisbane. And this was only... The Underwood was his second race going Melbourne way.
Yeah.
And he probably just a little bit below where we were hoping him to be. So his final bit of work going into the Turnbull, again, wasn't as good as we were hoping or wanting, not what we were wanting to see. So We opted not to run in the Turnbull and give him that little bit more time. He actually worked pretty well here.
And we've been pretty good work.
Working on a few things at home. And, this work was good, but Annabelle had a good chat to Jamie Mott, who was on board, and to the connections. So Nathan Bennett and their team of Bennett Racing, and they just sat down and had a good chat. And they felt like while his work was good here, it wasn't good enough or didn't feel like he's going well enough to go and win a Caulfield Cup. So the decision was made to regroup. He's back to Sydney. He actually arrives tomorrow morning. And we'll just reset our sights a little bit, go back to building a bit of confidence with him, get him back going Sydney way. And, there's plenty of options up here where we can aim at. We might even head to a Craven or something like that Saturday week. Not Saturday week, in a couple of weeks' time. And hopefully we can get him back to where he's been at. So, look, it's he's a really good horse on his day, and I think he's a bit of a confidence horse, and get him a bit more comfortable Sydney way of going and see where we're at.
Very good. Well, let's move to our feature races. So we picked out a couple of feature races to talk about today. The Caulfield Guineas, you don't hold any cards in the Caulfield Guineas, but it's a great race, a classic race on the calendar. So I'm interested to get your thoughts on that. And then we're also going to talk about the Tap Craig, where you've got a couple possible runners. So why don't we kick off with the Caulfield Guineas? We'll get it up on the screen there for you. So, look, obviously Broad Siding is a dominant favourite. What's your opinion on the race overall?
It's obviously Broad Siding. He was brilliant in the Golden Rose. He's probably the worthy short price favourite. It's hard to see anything beating him. Maybe from that draw, and Caulfield potentially can be a little bit tricky, but I think he's probably going to be too good. I think there's some really nice horses in there. Angel Capital looks pretty untapped. He has done nothing wrong. He was a good winner in the Prelude. He probably one that could improve again and be a challenger. Obviously, Mayfair's been in good form, deserves a little bit of respect. Private Life, I know the stable have a really good opinion of him. He's drawn well, wouldn't be unexpected if Chris Waller pulled something out there. And then the other horse, Public Attention, he was probably disappointing two starts ago, but he bounced back well in the Prelude. So, look, there's obviously a lot of really nice horses there, but it's just hard to see anything sort of getting over Broadsiding.
And Bizasto, Amelia's Jewel's little brother, he was in the mix. You trained Bizasto, he was in the mix, but then you decided not to accept with him. Was that the situation?
Yeah, that's right. He's obviously been running pretty well this preparation, but we just felt he wasn't quite ready for a guinea. So we're sort of going to reroute, and he'll head to the Red Anchor and probably just slightly back in class, and hopefully we can build back up from there.
Cool. Let's go to maybe we'll call it the rival Caulfield Guineas up in Sydney. So it's the Tap Craig. So it's for three-year-olds, isn't it? $500,000 race.
Yeah.
A lot of money on the line. There's the market up there. We've got a node which has come out of the Golden Rose, and your horses you've got Maine there at about a $12 chance. You've also got Yoshinobu. What do we make of all this?
Obviously this is a good race, isn't it? It's a new race, but it's attracting some pretty good horses. Our horse, Maine, he was really good on the Kenzo. He's going to have to go up a level here, but he's drawn nicely. Tyler now knows him pretty well. He's a horse we've got plenty of time for. I think he's right in the mix. Yoshinobu, he's also in the Roman Consul. So we're probably still discussing both races, but probably leaning towards the Roman Consul. But he's also drawn well. He's very progressive. He's won his last two. He was excellent when resuming, wasn't he? I'd imagine the stay were a little bit disappointed with his run in the Golden Rose. Snack Bar looks progressive and apart from the draw, looks a live chance. More Territories is another horse that also looks pretty good. So
Stolly Bully was a really good last start winner at the Valley on Manikato night.
Yeah, it was, for the exactly. Hayes Boys. Yeah. So got a little bit of a wide draw that he's got to contend with. But probably Snack Bar and More Territories would be, the two hardest to beat. I think our horse is going well also.
But $12 is pretty good to find out.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a good each-way chance.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't we get into the Annabelle set? You ready for ready for the challenge?
I think so. Cool. I hope so. Annabelle did pretty well last week.
She did, yeah. It was a winning set for sure, because she was very – very positive on Straka, so that helped a lot. But you got your little tips thing there. You want to
my little notes.
Read them out to
got
us.
Them. That's all right. I think we've got firm agreement in the gloaming.
Yeah. What's that? Rose Hill.
That's at Rose Hill. Rose Hill, race four. Yeah. Yep. He was a good winner at Newcastle last week. He was only in a maiden company, stepping up in class here, but he missed the kick the other day and he rocketed home. So I don't think it's going to be an issue stepping up to the 1800.
Mm-hmm.
He's a horse that's improving all the time. So, yeah, expect him to run well. I think he's a nice each-way chance. Good odds.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, keep rolling.
Next one, Yoshinobu. That's race five's the Roman Consul. That's if we decide to go there. He's won, done nothing wrong this prep. He's won both starts. I think he's really come on as well from his last win at Newcastle. So I think he's at nice odds. What price have we
40,
got?
40. 40.
So wouldn't surprise to run into a place there in a race like that. I know he's going to have to improve a lot, but his work on Tuesday was excellent.
Okay.
I've got a little bit of a left field one here. We've got a horse called Mormona.
Who's, we like this.
A French horse. Yeah, really like this horse. I thought he was excellent when resuming. He's a horse that gets out over 2 miles. So the Queensland Cup should be just about perfect. He's working really well and he's getting out to his right distance. So it doesn't look like the strongest of Queensland Cups, but I think he's a nice chance at $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then my fourth pick, we've got two horses in the Herbert Power, Fancy Man and Gear Up. They're coming out of the Naturalism.
Yeah.
Fancy Man was excellent first up. He had a torrid run. He was wide throughout and he stuck on well for fifth. So from the draw, he's drawn really nicely in the Herbert Power. I expect him to get a really nice run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going a much better this preparation. I know Annabelle's, she's been down there and seen him a few times and she's really bullish on the way he's going. So I think he's a nice chance. He's $10. Gear Up's a little bit shorter in the market, but he's going to have to work a bit hard from his draw. So hard to split our two horses and there's a few horses going pretty well in the Herbert Power. But I think Fancy Man's at good odds.
And it's the last lead up for the Caulfield Cup, isn't it? I think if you win, you avoid the ballot for the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we would have liked to have probably gone straight into the Caulfield Cup with both horses, but I think we're just on the fringe. So, look, if they won, then either or would back up. Yeah, but they're going to have to win first.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you for that. And before we finish off, I thought we'd just have a little bit of a chat about you. So we've learned a lot about Annabelle. We did the vlog with Annabelle where people learn a lot about her, but we haven't learned much about you. So I guess the first question is, like, I've sort of from a distance sort of seen you. You've always been in the horse industry, right? And you were in polo for a long time?
Yeah.
Were you a professional polo player?
Yeah, I was. So I did that pretty much from 18 till I was about 30. I played professional polo, so a little bit of an unorthodox route.
You make a living out of it and everything? Like, pardon my ignorance, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah,
like,
so... You can. There's a really good season in Australia, sort of in the autumn and the spring, not too dissimilar to the racing. But it was a bit more professional overseas. So I used to go to England each year for 5 or 6 months. So you'd head over there in April and that would be obviously the start of going into summer. And the season there, it was, as I said, a high level over there, so you're trying to achieve.
Is that the strongest competition in the world?
Yeah, it's pretty much. And then you've got Argentina as well, so that used to be at the end of the year. So I used to divide my year up with a fair bit of travelling, England, Argentina.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, you might go to France for a month if there was an opportunity to play there. So polo, as a professional, you're relying on team owners that will pay you and two other people to play in their team, and you're competing against other teams at similar levels. So it was exciting. I grew up sort of near the local club in Scone and that's how I've got into it. And I was pretty fortunate. You travel a lot, managed to make a little bit of money out of it. Mm. And it was a good life. So I loved it. I, at times you miss it a bit, but I've always been interested in the racing. And while it's been a little bit of an unorthodox sort of route into racing, I think it's given me a good grounding because riding horses all the time, so you're very much your whole life's basically around the horses with polo, and you're just really preparing them for each game. So I think a lot of those things cross over into racing, and just making sure your horses are fit and well, and it's which is the crux of getting a horse ready for a race. So,
and did you know much about, like, was your family in horse racing and stuff as a kid, or was it?
Mum and dad weren't. No, mum and dad. They were farmers up in the Hunter Valley. They just cattle and sheep and. Mum's father was quite involved in racing. He was pretty involved with the ATC or the AJC, I think, back then.
Yeah.
And that's probably the closest link I've got. But no, mum and dad didn't really have any involvement. So, but growing up in Scone, you're surrounded by the studs, and you're pretty aware of it. And and probably not until I was sort of getting to the end of my polo career that I started to really show a bit more interest.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously it's been a pretty good journey.
Yeah, and so you worked at Coolmore? Was that sort of one of your first jobs in the actual racing industry?
Yeah, no, my first job in the industry, I worked for Gay and Adrian, actually.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, yeah. So how I got into it, I was coming to the end of my polo career and I was thinking of, you know, what I was going to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was thinking, oh, well, I might go home and farm with mum and dad. Or, yeah. And Gay was doing her yearling tours for the Hunter Valley and someone said, oh, why don't you come and Gay's having lunch here. Why don't you come and have lunch? And I sat down and got chatting to Gay. And as you do, and Gay said, oh, what are you doing with your life, basically? I said, I don't really know.
Yeah.
And she said, well, why don't you come and work for me? And I said, oh, okay, I'll give it a bit of thought.
Yeah.
You know, so I agreed and I said, I'll come, we'll do a year.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a baptism of fire. So I'd come out of the pretty easy life.
Well, you're a rock star at the top of the polo industry.
Yeah,
then
I don't know if I was a rock star, but I had a good lot, you know, pretty nice life playing polo. And yeah. And then I went to Gay, and as you do with Gay, you start at the very bottom.
Sure.
So they walked in at 3 o'clock one morning and got handed a shovel, and I was like, what's this for?
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, well, there's the boxes you got to muck out. And that was it. So, you know, yeah. I started at the bottom there. And
how many years ago was that?
God, when was that? That was probably about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
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 And did the year with her. So I'd start at three, you'd muck out boxes till four, then you jump on the horses.
Yeah.
And I was in one of the barns where they were mostly the younger horses. So probably suited me best, and we'd ride all morning, really. You'd ride all morning. Then
so you were riding a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
of course, yeah.
So riding a lot. Very different to riding a polo pony.
Just
a different way of riding them. So it took a little bit of adjusting. But in the end of it, I absolutely loved it. The first 6 months I was thinking, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But it was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
You know, I learned the biggest thing I think I learned was just how hard you have to work. And Adrian is an incredibly hard worker, and so is Gay. So they were leading, and you're watching them, seeing how hard they work. So it was great. And, met a lot of people and was lucky to do a few of the yearling tours with her going up to the Hunter Valley. So Gay was great in introducing me to a lot of people. And it was probably the best year I could have ever hoped for to start off in the racing game. And it really went from there. And after that year, I then went to England.
Yep.
Worked for a few trainers over there. So worked for Hugo Palmer for a year.
Mm-hmm.
He then gave me the opportunity to travel back to Australia with a couple of horses for the Melbourne Carnival. So I travelled with a horse called Wall of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Who ended up running in a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
So that was a really good experience to do, to travel. I was riding as well. So, just to have that journey, bring your horse out. Obviously, you're learning all the time doing those sorts of things. And then I went back and had a year with David Simcock as his assistant trainer.
Okay.
And he's a really astute trainer, also very good at placing horses and just, again, trying to learn as much as you can. I came back to Australia, worked for Coolmore for 4 years.
Yes.
As their racing manager, which was...
That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, like, that was
working out what incredible. Do the best horses in Australia.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, I didn't have anything to do with the selection of
no,
them.
No, but you just have to race them. There's no pressure on you. You just
but it gave me an opportunity to meet, obviously to meet Tom and MV and their father and just to witness, you know, very close to the action how they operate and they're obviously industry leaders in what they do. So that was a real privilege to be part of their organisation. And then also the role as racing manager got me to work closely with a lot of the trainers that they use, particularly Chris Waller, who, you know, had the bulk of their colts that they were buying and training. So every couple of weeks I'd go down and go through all the horses with Chris and then we'd sit down for sort of half an hour. And I used to love that time. You're getting to chat with Chris and ask him lots of different questions and get to know him a little bit. So, it was pretty – all in all, I think it was a pretty good grounding, lots of different parts of it. And then in that time, Annabelle and I started going out and she said, oh, what do you think about coming down and working for me? And Annabelle and I actually worked together at Gay's.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
That's where we first met. So I said, oh, you know, I've always wanted to get back into the racing side of it and it was a good opportunity. She said, we're growing and why don't you come down and be part of it? And and that's what we did. So I've been there now just a bit over 2 years.
Yeah.
Obviously pretty privileged to be, you know, to be now training alongside Annabelle. Yeah, so
it's incredible what she's done in such a short time.
Yeah, yeah, she's done an amazing job to build a business to where she has, and it's given a lot of us that work for a good opportunity to be part of it. And we're very obviously grateful to everything she's done. But she's also, while she's worked hard and done everything right, she's built up really good relationships with some good owners that have backed her as well. Yeah. So, it's been a pretty busy couple of years.
Yeah.
But it's exciting, and we're really fortunate to have some good horses in some good races, and we're just working hard to keep building it and improving things, and hopefully we can hopefully we're in this sort of area for the next 20 years, 30 years.
And Annabelle seems incredibly driven, is that right? Like, it doesn't seem like she switches off. She's just bang, bang, bang the whole time. Is that fair?
Yeah, she works as hard as anyone, and she's very focused and driven and wants to keep improving and keep marching forward. So there's definitely some racing game. There's some tough moments, when you're dealing with a horse like this. There's some pretty stressful
times.
Look
at Faulkner Park,
exactly. So we started the season full of hope with Faulkner Park, thinking we might have a live chance in a Caulfield Cup. So I think I can give a good support in that aspect where we help her through the difficult times, and she's got someone to lean on as well that makes that a little bit easier. But we've got a pretty good life. We while we work pretty hard, we feel very fortunate to be in the position we're in, and look forward to the next sort of keeping on building it up over the next few years.
Yeah, and next week, just finishing off, looks like I reckon it's the biggest week in the history of your stable. Is that a fair thing to say? You got some live chances in massive races on Everest Day.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think to have Annabelle's obviously had horses like Zaki and in big races, but I think the Everest, it just feels a bit different. I don't really know why. I mean, it's unknown to me. Yeah. So to have a horse in the Everest, I think, is incredible. And, all our energy at the moment is just making sure that she's in the best possible shape we can. But, yeah, I think it is. It's a big week. And
you've got Amelia's Jewel in the King Charles. Yeah. And you got Lady Laguna probably in the Sydney Stakes, which is like a $2 million race.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have a Caulfield Cup runner.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot going on. So that gets a bit lost. You really just probably to a fault, you just end up focusing on each horse and making sure they're going well. But yeah, when you put it like that, it is pretty exciting.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, thank you for watching. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And next week will be the biggest episode ever of the Annabelle set, even though there's only been 3 episodes. But Rob, thank you very, very much for coming in, mate. You're very candid. We appreciate it. And we will see you next week. Good luck on the punt over the weekend. Cheers.